authority of leadership and with the responsibility for guiding the struggle. Okay, dear listeners, that was the time we've got for today's episode. For ending, let's just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh on the concept of Palestine and the Quds. In that regard, he said, "The issue of Palestine is a priority for the Islamic government." Thank you very much for being with us in this episode. I wish you have enjoyed what we said about the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh and what we said in general in this episode. Now, until another one, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Leaders' remarks at meeting with the organizers of the National Congress of the Martyrs of Lorestan Province. On Tuesday, 24th of October, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the organizers of the National Congress of the Martyrs of Lorestan Province. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya in Tehran. In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. Tuesday, 24th of October, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the organizers of the National Congress of the Martyrs of Lorestan Province, as well as a number of the families of the martyrs of this province. The leader talked about the outstanding characteristics of the people of Lorestan Province, and in particular mentioned their courage and bravery. He said, "The Lors are courageous and brave people wherever they are, in the battlefield or when they express their beliefs and views, and with regards to various social issues. They are a courageous people." The leader added, "A second characteristic that I find to be prominent as well is their companionship, their honesty and their loyalty. This characteristic is truly prominent among the Lors in my personal interactions with them that I've experienced myself. In addition to the things that I have heard, I have sensed these two prominent characteristics in addition to many other qualities." Turning to young people, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, said, "In order for youth and the younger generation to know their own history, and in order to saturate the nation's historic knowledge, we must remember and commemorate the martyrs of the Islamic Revolution. All those martyrs and all the martyred students and teachers, the martyred women, the martyred clerics, the martyred scholars, and all those who were present in military field, including both the army and the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, were truly outstanding, and their presence was very good in different areas. Praise God that this has continued up until today." The leader added, "I hope, God willing, your efforts to commemorate the martyrs of the Islamic Revolution will yield good results." The point that the Friday prayers leader mentioned is also important. The purpose of these commemoration ceremonies is to create a movement. This point should be considered carefully. Intellectual and practical movements need to be created, and the valuable heritage of the previous generation and the selfless youth of the previous generation should be transferred to the youth of today. The country is heading towards the mountaintop. There is much to do. Much effort must be made. And there are also many risks involved, and these must be faced. This path must be pursued with strength and determination. If we want this to happen, we must make use of the historical past of this part of our country, as well as many other regions of our country. Everyone should be involved in the passing of this valuable heritage to the present generation. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "I would like to say just a few words about the situation in the Gaza Strip, because today the issue of Palestine and the events that are taking place in Gaza are the Islamic world's most important issues. All of these events would shape the future. On the one hand, the matter of Gaza is about oppression, and on the other hand, it's about a matter of power and authority. Yes, the people of Gaza are truly oppressed, and this brutal, bloodthirsty enemy, the usurping Zionist regime, knows no limits when it comes to committing crimes. It has martyred 1,000 people in a single bombardment. That's how it is. It knows no limits. This is how the oppression of people becomes evident. But there are two important points alongside this oppression. One is the patience of these people, and the people's trust in God. The Palestinians have truly been patient. Some of the scenes of what's happening in Palestine have been shown in the world's mass media and also in our country. A Palestinian child is martyred. His parents praise God. His child is martyred. The father says, it's for Palestine. A wounded teenager praises God and recites verses from the Holy Quran. These people's patience is very important. The enemy wanted to push these people to raise their arms and surrender, but they didn't raise their arms. They didn't surrender. This is a very important point. This patience and their trust in God are the things that will come to their aid. This is what will make them victorious on the battlefield, and ultimately they will be the victors. Commenting further on the decisive and irreparable blow by the Palestinian resistance fighters against the Zionist regime, the leader said, "Another important point is that the blow that has been inflicted in this event, in the attack by the Palestinian resistance fighters on the usurping Zionist regime, this was a decisive blow. Never before had the Israeli regime suffered such a blow, and as I mentioned from the start, it is irreparable. With the passage of time, this point will become even more clear." Turning to the United States and European support for the Zionists, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "What do you think the President of the United States and the heads of oppressive evil countries like Britain, France and Germany are continuously making their way to the Israeli regime? It is because they see that if the Zionist regime is falling apart, they see that it is being destroyed. They realize this, so they keep going there to prevent its destruction. If the usurping Israeli regime was not in danger of falling apart and being destroyed, these evil powers in the world would not feel the need to continuously go there and express their solidarity with Zionist officials. This shows that they have suffered a very strong, decisive blow. And well, this battered, wounded, crippled regime, which they're struggling to keep on its feet, using weaponry, etc., this regime has not been able to overpower the Palestinian resistance fighters, and it won't be able to do so. Thus, it takes its revenge on defenseless, oppressed Palestinian civilians and drops bombs on them. The Palestinian fighters are still prepared. They have been prepared to take action and have maintained their spirit, motivation, and ability to act during this period. And God willing, they will continue to do so after this. I believe that anyone who talks about Gaza should talk about the patience of the Palestinians, the power of the people, and the power of the Palestinian resistance fighters. Otherwise, they will be doing them a great injustice. Truly, the patience that they have shown is very important. Turning to America's responsibility and culpability in the crimes being committed against the Palestinians of Gaza, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "Another main point is in this matter is that the United States is definitely an accomplice in the crimes being committed against the Palestinians. In other words, in this crime, the United States' hand is drenched and stained up to its elbow with blood of the oppressed Palestinians, the children, the sick, the women, the elderly and others. Actually, it is the United States that is somehow managing the crime that is being committed in Gaza. The US is the one which is managing the atrocities being committed against the Palestinians. The scope of this crime was so extensive that it has shook the conscience, the collective conscience of the peoples of the world. You are seeing people in American cities, in European cities, in capitals all over the world, rising up and protesting, in Islamic countries taking to the streets and openly expressing their opposition to the Zionist, to the brutal Zionist attack on Gaza. This is even though pro-Palestinian protests have been banned in European countries that claim to have freedom of speech. This is also a disgrace. It is permissible to march for anything, yet it is forbidden to march in support of the oppressed. But people have ignored this ban. You saw the video footage on your television screens where people came and participated in the protests throughout America, Europe and elsewhere, in Islamic countries and elsewhere. People around the world are infuriated, and we all know that this feeling of anger that has been arisen in people, this guilty conscience that has arisen in these countries, will create a reaction that no one can stop. No matter how hard they try, they will not be able to stop this reaction. What I would like to emphasize is that Muslim governments should not give up on this matter. They shouldn't imagine that just because the United States or some other Western countries do the stupid thing and label those who defend their own homes, their country, as terrorists, this does not mean that Muslim leaders should do the same. Why does a person who defends his or her homeland against the enemy, why does that person label the terrorist? The fake oppressive government that has usurped their homes is the real terrorist. Muslim governments should be careful, and political spokespersons should be careful not to repeat the words of politicians in the United States and Europe. They should know that this matter, and in the future, Palestine will definitely emerge victorious. The future belongs to the Palestinians. It does not belong to the usurping Zionist regime. The future belongs to the Palestinians. What the Zionists are doing, the oppression, the crimes, the tragedies and atrocities they're creating, all are in vain. They will not be able to do anything. God willing, the Almighty God will bless the Islamic world and the Islamic nation with all its good in this world. And may God subdue, vanquish, and humiliate the enemies of Islam. God's greetings and mercy and blessings upon you all.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, avoiding shirk
through obedience. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are two types of shirk, polytheism. The first one is shirk jali, which is open polytheism, open shirk, for instance, idol worshipping. The second one is shirk khafi, which is the hidden or the concealed shirk. And this is a very dangerous form of shirk. This is what we are discussing today in the light of obedience to creature. When one obeys other than Allah and disobeys Allah, one falls into the shirk, the polytheism, through obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran chapter 20, verse number 81 and 82 says, "And they have taken gods besides Allah, that they should be to them a source of strength. By no means, they shall soon deny their worshipping them, and they shall be adversaries to them." Concerning this verse, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, said, "The word worship here in this verse does not mean bowing and prostrating for prayer. Rather, it is obedience to men, obedience to other than Allah. Anyone who obeys a creature and disobeys the creator actually worships him." So the whole concept of worship that we have in our mind is just some ritualistic practices, you know. For instance, praying five times a day and, you know, bowing down in front of someone, or doing sajda or prostration in front of someone. Well, while this is worshiping, but the concept of worshiping is wider than that. If you obey someone, you are effectively, for all practical purposes, worshipping that person. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing shirk through obedience, and specifically we are talking about obedience to the creator. Now, you may say that, yes, obedience to creature does not make sense conceptually, but practically speaking, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we do things to please others, you know, other human beings. And this is where Islam is very sensitive about, especially if that pleasing of others is coming at a cost of displeasing Allah, right? Now, you may ask, parents are a creatures other than Allah as well. Should we not obey them? Well, let's turn towards Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, who wrote to Ma'mun, "To do good to the parents is a religious duty, even if they are disbelievers. But when it is a cause for the disobedience of Allah, neither they nor other people should be obeyed, because no obedience to any creature is allowed when it is a disobedience to the Creator." End quote. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam is clearly informing us, brothers and sisters, that, you know, do not be caught up in this trap of shaitan that, oh, since they are my elders, since they are my parents, since they are my teachers, you know, I have to listen to them and obey them. No, it's not that simple. You have to make sure that what they're asking for is in line with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot just make these people happy at the cost of making Allah unhappy. If the obedience of parents is in line with the obedience to Allah, we must listen to them. We're not allowed to be angry at them. The Quran says, don't even say uff, which means do not say or make a slightest and the lightest of gestures to show your unwillingness or unhappiness towards your parents. But if it comes at the cost of making Allah unhappy, this is where Islam expects you to not obey them in that particular instance.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Gaza Strip skyline. Israel's bombing campaign continues. An apocalyptic scene. It appears Israel is using the banned white phosphorus bombs again. Bombs which burns the skin down to the bone. The death toll continues to mount, like at the Al-Maghazi camp. 51 Palestinians murdered. Another massacre on top of the others. Genocide on speed. The cries over the loss of a beloved one, which is why people are angry worldwide. But the biggest rally for Palestinians ever to have taken place in Washington, D.C. The war is coming at a cost for Israel. Diplomatically, Bolivia cut off relations with Israel, with Turkey, Colombia, Chad, and Honduras recalling their ambassadors. Persian Gulf Arab leaders meeting with the U.S. Secretary of State. They all called for a ceasefire, but Blinken did not blink. No to a ceasefire, and on a humanitarian pause, a big maybe.
It's our view that a ceasefire now would simply leave Hamas in place.
Yet Blinken had only echoed Netanyahu's statements on a ceasefire.
Calls for a ceasefire are calls for Israel to surrender to Hamas.
David Petraeus, the retired general of the U.S. Army, responsible in part for his failure in Afghanistan and also in Iraq, in a leaked audio file, encouraged and approved Israel's carnage in Gaza.
I see no alternative to the destruction of Hamas, and I use that term specifically because, as Aviv knows, there's a military doctrinal term. It's a gradation. You know, you can disrupt, you can deny, you can defeat, you can destroy.
But he must not have been prepared for what an Israeli minister said when asked whether an atomic bomb should be dropped on the Gaza Strip. Amihai Eliyahu said this is one of the possibilities. Let's not forget, the Gaza Strip has already been hit by an atomic bomb. But not at once. Slowly, 25,000 tons dropped on the Strip so far. The resistance fighters slammed these comments as reflective of the evil and terrorist nature of the regime, while they fought street battles against the Israeli regime forces. Israel has suffered casualties as a result. The tide may be turning, with costs mounting for the U.S. and Israel. For Israel, the worldwide anti-Israel protests have shattered its image. These protests have also worked against the U.S.
It's definitely ceasefire. People are getting killed every minute.
In the U.S., there are worries about the aftermath of the war. It's time for Israel's friends to recognize that the current operational approach is causing an unacceptable level of civilian harm and does not appear likely to achieve the goal of permanently ending the threat from Hamas, is what this high-ranking senator said. In other words, the U.S. is at the phase of the war where people are starting to worry about how they will look when this is over. And they are worried about votes also, as cynical as that sounds. Muslim and Arab American groups have threatened to not vote for Biden in 2024. This includes Democratic Party leaders from contested states that can decide elections, such as Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. That, combined with the sanctioning of Israeli products, which has also gained traction, especially amongst the Generation Zs in the U.S., and not just in the U.S., but around the world. Figures reported by the charity organization Save the Children shows the number of children killed in the Gaza Strip as a result of Israel's ongoing aggression has exceeded annual figures related to global conflicts over the past 4 years. The international NGO says that Israel's brutal military attack against Gaza, which began on October 7 in response to an operation by the Palestinian resistance group Hamas, has so far killed more than the annual number of children killed in armed conflicts globally in each of the past 4 years. According to multiple reports, including the Palestinian Health Ministry and the Defense for Children International, DCI, one child is being killed in Gaza every 10 minutes. Euromed Human Rights Monitor said in a press release on October 18 that since the launch of the indiscriminate bombing crusade against Gaza, an average of 100 children have been killed daily. Hundreds of children are still trapped under the rubble of residential buildings targeted during Israel's strikes on Gaza, and they have not been rescued yet, which implies the actual death toll could be higher. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said in a statement that at least 1,000 children are missing under the rubble in Gaza. The ongoing siege and the relentless bombardment are impeding search and rescue operations.
Gaza has become a graveyard for children. It's a living hell for everyone else. And yet the threats to children go beyond bombs and mortars. And I want to speak briefly now on two of those, water and trauma. The more than 1 million children of Gaza have a critical water crisis. Gaza's water production now, its capacity is at 5% of its daily output. So child deaths to dehydration, particularly infant deaths to dehydration, are a growing threat.
The UN Committee on the Rights of the Child has also issued a statement saying grave human rights violations against children are mounting by the minutes in the Gaza Strip. The statement says armed conflict harms children first and foremost and has lifelong effects on their physical and mental health, their development, and ultimately the enjoyment of all their rights. Children are also harmed when they survive, but lose parents and other family members and friends, and also witness catastrophic events. The committee has also called for an end to the devastating harm that's being leveled on children's lives in the occupied Palestinian territory. It has also called on all parties to protect all children and to provide all the necessary medical and protective support, including psychological support, to begin the long process of overcoming the consequences of these grave violations.
Then, of course, we have the trauma. When finally the fighting stops, the cost to children and their communities is going to be borne out for generations to come. Before this latest escalation, before it, more than 800,000 children in Gaza, that's three quarters of the entire child population of Gaza, were identified as needing mental health and psychological support. Again, that's before this latest nightmare.
In a desperate move, Palestinian children and their parents have started writing their names on their bodies in black ink so that they can be identified in hospitals if they are killed or injured in Israeli strikes. Children pulled from the wreckage of buildings are sometimes unrecognizable due to grave injuries. Heartbreaking photos of children lying on steel trays inside Gaza hospital morgues with their sleeves or legs of trousers pushed up to reveal their names have been going viral on social media. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, said in a report last Tuesday that almost every child in Gaza has been exposed to deeply distressing events and trauma.
We're talking about children witnessing their parents, their families, their sisters and brothers being killed in front of them, their houses, their communities disappearing in a split second. This has a big toll on their emotional, psychological, and mental health
The report highlighted that children are experiencing widespread destruction, relentless attacks, displacements, and severe shortages of essential necessities like food, water, and medicine. The report added that without stable electricity and fuel supplies, essential facilities like hospitals, desalination plants, and water pumping stations cannot work properly.
It's interesting, Amy, we have a formula at the United Nations that is applied to virtually every other conflict situation. But when it comes to the situation in Israel and Palestine, there's a different set of rules, apparently. And that's, I think, a big source of my frustration. Where is the transitional justice process? Where is the UN protection force to protect all civilians? Where is the tribunal for accountability? Where is the action on the part of the Security Council, the only mechanism in the United Nations that has enforcement to ensure protection in the occupied territories?
Since October the 7th, Israel has launched a relentless bombing campaign against the people of Gaza. The bombardments have claimed the lives of thousands of innocent Palestinians, most of them women and children. Israel's genocidal war on the people of Palestine has sparked mass rallies across the world. Journalists, activists, and even athletes have joined the growing calls to put an end to the carnage. But most of these voices are being suppressed due to the pressure by Israel and Zionist lobbies. Reports have been circulating at an alarming pace about activists being sacked from their positions, journalists being relieved of their duties, and even athletes being stripped of their contracts. The editor-in-chief of an academic journal said that he was fired from his job after sharing an article about people dying in Gaza. Michael Eisen, a geneticist at the University of California, Berkeley, and the editor of the scientific journal eLife, tweeted to say that he had been informed that he is being replaced as the publication's editor. Egyptian TikToker Karim Kabani said he had been sacked from his job in France because he made three videos on TikTok in support of the people of Palestine. Jackson Frank, who was recently appointed as the Sixers beat writer for Philly Voice, was relieved of his duties after sending out a tweet in solidarity with the people of Palestine. Frank, a vocal supporter of Palestine, in one of his tweets, days after his unceremonious sacking, termed the Israeli atrocities against the people in Gaza as, quote, genocide. In the Canadian city of Ontario, the New Democratic Party, NDP, expelled MPP Sarah Jama from the caucus earlier this week for her statements in support of Palestinians.
Governments and institutions in Canada are trying to use their voice to wait to silence us, to silence workers, students, educators, and peace-loving people who dare to support Palestine. And to every person who's taking a risk to speak up for Palestinian dignity and safety, I see you and I hear you and I am with you. They try hard to silence us, but we know that our words are powerful, and we must continue to speak up, no matter the cost.
In a series of tweets, Sarah Jama called for an immediate ceasefire and de-escalation. Maha Dakhil, one of the top agents in Hollywood, also had to call it quits from her role at the Creative Artists Agency, CAA, after she posted in support of Palestine. And Tanya Singh, a unionist from Minneapolis, said she had been terminated from her job in a union for anti-Semitism over her support for Palestine.
Governments across the world, in an attempt to address anti-Semitism and somehow redress the horrors of the Holocaust, are allowing Israel to get away with apartheid, ethnic cleansing, detention of children, torture, restriction of movement and other freedoms, and the illegal occupation of land. After every genocide, the world cries out, never again. And yet here you see another attempted genocide unfold right in front of your eyes, and you don't just watch on quietly, but actively supporting the oppressor.
Meanwhile, the crisis in Gaza has unveiled Western double standards regarding the issue of Palestinians and their cause. Western nations have tried their best to silence pro-Palestine voices.
Germany, for example, has in recent weeks moved hysterically to ban pro-Palestine demonstrations altogether, smearing them as quote-unquote anti-Semitic gatherings. Berlin has violently cracked down on Palestinian activists. French Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin has declared an outright ban on all Palestine-related protests. In addition, those standing in solidarity with the Palestinian cause are also reportedly being stopped, questioned and fined. In the UK, the Rishi Sunak government has come out openly in support of the Israeli regime's genocidal campaign in the besieged Gaza Strip. Home Secretary Suella Braverman insisted that waving the Palestinian flag could amount to inciting racism or violence. At the same time, Prime Minister Sunak demanded all state buildings should display the Israeli flag. The response by the European officials to the massacre in the Gaza Strip and the subsequent intensifications of the siege and the indiscriminate bombing of civilians by Tel Aviv has laid bare the hypocrisy of the European leaders and their blatant bias towards Israel.
We know for sure that we represent the views of the majority of people in Ireland. We represent the views of our Parliament, and we genuinely believe that we represent the views of the majority of European citizens who have taken to the streets in their tens and hundreds of thousands over the past number of days, appalled by the stance of the EU so-called leaders who have been complicit in genocide and ethnic cleansing by allowing Israel to behave as it does.
Just days ago, more than 800 EU officials wrote a letter to the bloc's chief, Ursula von der Leyen, criticizing her uncontrolled support of Israel. The signatories of the letter said there is a seeming indifference demonstrated over the past few days by our institution towards the ongoing massacre of civilians in the Gaza Strip in disregard for human rights and international humanitarian law. The letter represents deep division within the bloc on how to approach the Israel-Gaza war.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really, really happy that I have Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah and Fawad Haider with me in this session. Salaamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Ali Nasir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Welcome.
Great.
Welcome. And Hassan, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Fawad, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. So, everybody is fine. Alhamdulillah, here with us. Hope you are fine and healthy as well, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 19 of Surah
Al-An'am
on page
130.
Top of the page. Brothers and sisters, turn your Quran. Turn to page 130 of the Quran. And let's get started by listening to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul ayyu shay'in akbaru shahadatan qulillahu shahidun bayni wa baynakum wa uhiya ilayya hadha al-Qur'an li'undirakum bihi wa man balagh أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً أُخْرَى قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدُ قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ
مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. That was a nice recitation. Okay. First and foremost, we'll have a short explanation about this ayah, and then we'll move on to the tajweed rules and the recitation. Okay. Guys, let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul ayyu shay'in akbaru shahadatan. O Prophet, say, what thing is greatest as witness? قُلِ اللَّهِ, say, Allah Almighty is. شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ, he is witness between me and you. If shaheed is called shaheed, the one who is martyred in the way of Allah, it means he is a witness. A witness that he, it means he is alive spiritually, okay? If physically he is not among us, but he sees us, okay? He sees شَهِيدٌ. And also, he is called Shaheed because when he gets martyred, all the angels are there. Okay? They are witnessing him. Alright? Getting yes. martyred in the way of Allah Almighty. So, قُلْ قُلِ اللَّهِ شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Also, Shaheed means the one who witnesses. Shaheed. Shahid, Shaheed. So he is, Allah Almighty is witness between me and you. O Prophet, if they are denying you, if they are denying the pagans of Mecca that time, okay, and also the Jews, the Christians, okay, the Christians not a lot, okay, but usually the Jews, okay, and the pagans, they were denying the prophethood of the Prophet, and they were saying, you should bring us reasons. And even the Prophet was bringing the reasons, but they were not accepting. Why? Because, Because Prophet was not fulfilling their favors, okay? That's why. In the next verses, we'll see that Allah Almighty says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ, and right in the next verse, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Those people, the Jews, okay, they knew the Prophet that much as they know their sons. How much does a father know his son? Do you know, for example, Ali? Let's talk about Ali. Do you know Ali more than his father?
No.
No. His father and mother, they know Ali better than everyone. Better than anyone. Yes?
Yes.
So they also knew the Prophet that much. They knew that he is the Prophet. He is the last Prophet. Still they were refusing. Still they were denying. Okay? They were calling the Prophet like he is a magician, God forbid. He is blah, 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 they were calling. And they were plotting against this Prophet. Okay? And Allah says, Allah gives a Prophet a... a good news, and gives him some confidence that, O Prophet, Allahu shahidun bayni wa baynakum. Tell the people that if you are not witnessing that I am the right Prophet, okay, it's enough for me that Allah is shahidun bayni wa baynakum. Wa uhiya ilayya hadha al-Qur'an, and this Qur'an has been revealed to me, li'unzirakum bihi wa man balagh, that I may warn thereby you and whomever it may reach. أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَشْهَدُونَ, do you indeed bear witness? أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهَةٌ إِلَهَةً آخَرٌ, that there are other gods besides Allah? قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدُ. If you believe that there are gods beside Allah Almighty, alright, do it. But I don't do that, okay? Because the pagans of Mecca at that time, they were telling the prophet, okay, come on, stop preaching, stop spreading things about beliefs about your God, okay? Stop about talking about one God, okay? Come on, believe in our gods, okay, and the idols, okay? Believe in them. We'll give you money. We'll give you positions in the community. Ooh, blah, 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 things, okay? Prophet says, no. Even if you put the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left hand, they will change nothing for me. I believe in God, in one God, and He's the only God. Okay? Then the Prophet says, قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدُ. O Prophet, say to them, I do not bear witness that there are many gods. There is only one God. قُلْ, O Prophet, say, indeed He is the one God. قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. And I indeed disown what you associate with Him. Okay? Disown means that whatever you associate with God, whatever you attribute to God, whatever you say God is, for example, got three gods, four gods, five gods, 100 gods, or God is the one who does not have power, whatever you attribute to God, I don't do that. I see God as a powerful God, as a wise, as a knowledgeable God, as one God. Okay? This tells us what? About our beliefs, attributes of Allah Almighty. So Tawheed talks about what?
The oneness of God.
Oneness of God. That's it. So Allah Almighty is one. Do you have any questions?
No.
No questions? So, that was a short explanation. Hope you've learned something. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more and detailed information.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
We will move on to the tajweed rules. Let's have a short explanation about tajweed, then the recitation. All right. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً. If you stop here, because Hassan says that Sila tells us
to continue. It's better to continue.
Better to continue, but you can stop here. So, I want to stop here. شَهَادَةً. How can I stop here? How should I read the word shahadatan? Without changes, the same shahadatan. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً. Is that correct?
No.
No.
How should I read this?
Because you should use the rule tamarbuta and change the word into shahada.
Ah, we have to follow the rules of tamarbuta. It says whenever a word ends with tamarbuta, the circled ta. Like the ha, it has two dots on the top. If a word ends with that, what do you have to do? Change it to?
Ha.
Ha. Remove the two dots. And whatever harakat, whatever vowel sound, whatever tanween, fatha, kasra, dhamma, whatever it has, change that to?
Sukoon.
Sukoon. This is the rule of stopping. And then read it. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً. Okay? شَهَادَةً changes to شَهَادَةً. قُلْ إِلَّهِ. قُلْ Allah. You join them together. قُلْ إِلَّهِ. Lam has a kasra, and the next word, the word Allah, starts with Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl doesn't have any harakat. Yes? Hamzatul Wasl. And also, that it's Hamzatul Wasl is therefore, because the Lam is sakin. Al-Ilah. Allah. The word Allah is actually Al-Ilah. Okay? And it has been changed to Allah. Now the Lam is lam in the word Allah, the first lam, it is sakin. The lam in the word qul is also sakin. If we were to read the word Allah only, you would read it with hamzatul wasl, because you don't have any other choice, okay? Put a fatha on hamzatul wasl and read it Allah. But now that you have a word before the word Allah and you can join it to the word Allah, you don't need hamzatul wasl. You ignore hamzatul wasl, you put a kasra with lam, okay? إِذِ الْتَقَتَ السَّاكِنَتَيْنِ, if the two sakin letters meet together, حُرِّكَ بِالْكَسْرَ, the first letter, the first sakin will have a harakat with kasra. It's applied in many examples, okay? So قُلْ, how do you read it? قُولِ, قُولِ, yes. Then join it to the word Allah. قُولِ اللَّهِ, قُولِ اللَّهِ, very simple. Shahidun Baini. Shahidun Baini. How do you read it?
Shahidun Baini.
Shahidun Baini. Ahsantum.
Iqlab.
You change the tanween sound into a meme sound. That's why you see a baby meme on the top. And then hide it. Shahidun Baini. Shahidun Baini. Just the way your lips are about to touch. In order to pronounce the meme, don't let them touch, okay? There should be a little space between your lips. Shahidun bayni wa baynakum. Jim says it's optional to stop here or continue. Wa uhiya. Make sure you read the waw on uhiya. Ilayya hadha al-Qur'anu li'unzirakum. Hide the sound of nun. Zirakum. Bihi. Fawad, what do you think about the meme sakin and word undhirakum? Meme sakin plus ba.
Ikhfa.
Ah, ikhfa of meme. Li undhirakum bihi wa man balagh. Both are ikhfa. Man balagh kum bihi. Both ikhfa of meme. Yes?
Yeah, simple. Yes.
لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغُ أَإِنَّكُمْ نُون مشدد. Extend the sound for two counts. لَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً أُخْرَى. رَا heavy sound. قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدُ. If you stop. قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدُ. Have you stopped?
Yes.
Ashhad.
Yes.
قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدْ. إِلَهٌ وَاحِدْ becomes إِلَهُ
وَاحِدٌ.
وَاحِدٌ becomes وَاحِدُ. وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. Double meme, double meme, double meme, yeah? بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا. Four meme we have here, so extend the sound for two beats for each of them. Listen and repeat. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً قُلِ اللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ
قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً قُلِ اللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ
وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَن بَلَغَ
وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَن بَلَغَ
أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً أُخْرَى
أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً أُخْرَى
قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدُ
قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدُ
قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ
قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ تشركون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much. Allah bless you, dear sisters and brothers, for listening to IRIB English Radio. Hassan Hussein, Ali Nasser and Fawad, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, Safia International Schools. So, that's all from us for today. See you in the next session. Stay with IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel pounds Gaza's largest medical facility, Al-Shifa Hospital, as the fatalities from more than a month of bombardments of the besieged strip tops 10,300. Two American military